introduce yourself and give some background on your involvement with Decide?
Hi, I'm Andy Oxman. I'm a researcher at the Norwegian Institute for Public Health, formerly at the Norwegian Knowledge Center for the Health Services. And I was a partner in the Decide project.
What were your most important findings from your work with Decide?
I think for the work that the team here in Oslo did together with others, the three main products coming out of our work were the interactive summary of findings table, which is a way of improving presentation of the findings of systematic reviews to different audiences to make it easier for them to access and understand and use that information. Interactive evidence to decision frameworks to help people go from evidence to recommendations or decisions. And the Get It glossary to help people use plain language and understand terminology that's used in evidence-informed decision-making.
How has Decide changed the way that you work?
Certainly reinforce things that builds on earlier work that we've done. So it's increased my efforts to use plain language in describing what we do and research findings and the use of research in making decisions. It's reinforced the need for flexible presentations to disseminate information to different target audiences, and particularly using layered presentations that give people the key messages on the top layer and then allow them to dig in deeper, get explanations as needed. Using systematic and transparent approaches, particularly when considering different factors that can drive decisions.
How might Decide's work help other guideline groups?
Well, I think in particular, the interactive evidence to decision tool offers a more structured and transparent approach than other current approaches to going from evidence to recommendations, including the earlier GRADE approach and our approaches like signs, considered judgments, where a lot of the judgments that are made when going from evidence to a recommendation are often not transparent and not made systematically. And so this helps to ensure consideration of all of the key factors and that important factors aren't overlooked, and helps to ensure that clear judgments are made about each factor and it's clear what evidence was used to inform each of those judgments.
How did you use the Decide evidence to decision frameworks in real guideline panels?
So I have not personally been on any panels that have used it, but worked with colleagues who have been, both as organizations that are responsible for producing guidelines, chairs of guideline committees and technical teams, or members and panels and technical teams supporting panels. And so the framework's been used by WHO, by the Swedish Institute of Public Health, by the Norwegian Directorate of Health, and other organizations, both nationally and internationally. I think that in general, the people who have used the framework have had very positive experiences. A number of people have been put off initially by the appearance of it being more complicated than other approaches, but quickly found that it can, in fact, make the process more efficient.
Were there any challenges, and how did you overcome them with regard to the evidence to decision frameworks?
People's initial reaction to it seeming complicated. Going from evidence to recommendations, making decisions, is complex. So that's something that's inherent in the nature of the recommendations or decisions that are being made. It's not something that's specific to the approach that's used in the evidence to decision frameworks. And so that, I think the first thing is just to help people understand that we're not making things complex. They're complex to begin with. And the challenge is to simplify things as much as possible without oversimplifying things and ignoring important considerations. Secondly, I think it's clear that panels need to be introduced to the frameworks early on, and it's important to make sure that they understand the frameworks, and I think that can be done relatively quickly. And so having webinars or practice runs to introduce panels to the frameworks is important. And then lastly, making it clear that the frameworks are flexible so that it doesn't require that panels necessarily do systematic reviews for each factor or criterion in the framework, or even consider each factor. I mean, you may be ready to make a recommendation after considering a single factor, for example, if a problem's not a priority, such as cervical cancer screening for young women, when the risk is less than 1 out of 100,000, maybe 1 out of 1,000,000, you could decide based on that criterion alone that it doesn't make sense to screen women for cervical cancer at that age without going on to other criteria. So you don't necessarily need to look at every criterion. You don't necessarily need to collect evidence for every criterion, but it makes it clear what you have and haven't done and what information you have used to inform the judgments that you have made in relation to the criteria that are relevant to a particular recommendation or decision.
What do you think is the single biggest benefit of using the framework?
I think probably transparency, that it makes it clear what factors were considered, what evidence was used to inform the judgment about each factor, and what the judgment was that was made for each factor, and then which factors in the end drove the recommendation or decision.
How did you develop the look and feel of the interactive summary of findings tables?
Well, like all of the products coming out of the DECIDE project, it was an iterative, user-centered design approach that was used. So it began with brainstorming about what the problems and challenges were and possible solutions, consultation. So, for example, we had an advisory group of a diverse group of international people who were involved in policymaking and had methodological expertise. We did a survey of policymakers, prototyping, and then user testing of those prototypes, getting feedback, redesigning, and repeating the cycle.
And were there any challenges with that process? How did you overcome the challenges around those?
Part of that process is you anticipate finding lots of things that don't work. That's the whole purpose of the process. So we tried lots of things that didn't work and then came up with alternative solutions. So for example, we found out for the interactive summary of findings that the introduction didn't work, and a lot of people didn't discover many of the features of the interactive summary of findings that they could use to access, help them to understand the information. And we tried several different ways of presenting that help or introduction, and the key solution there, I think, in the end, was to simplify the interface and make it basically to minimize the need for any sort of instruction, so that the ways in which you could interact with the summary of findings was much more obvious right from the beginning.
What do you think is the single biggest benefit of using an interactive summary of findings table?
I'd say flexibility and the ability to minimize the initial presentation without leaving out important information. In other words, the layered presentation that it allows, where you can show a table with minimum amount of information for any particular target audience, but then behind that make have easily accessible whatever additional information is needed, whether it's explanations for an audience that doesn't have a research background or more detailed judgments for an audience that wants to understand more clearly what was behind the judgments that were made.